Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue with my teaching titled, The Book of Romans, Our Guidebook for Christian Living, which I began on March 17th. This teaching is a verse-by-verse examination of this New Testament book and will provide the listener important details that will give all of us insight on how to live in victory by applying the biblical principles that Apostle Paul shares with us. When I speak of the book of Romans as a guidebook, I am referring to a manual of information that will give the Christian the ability to live life skillfully in Jesus. It is a guide to a godly lifestyle that may be unknown or unfamiliar to some of you. Therefore, Apostle Paul wrote this book with the intention to lead us to the knowledge of God's New Testament promises, give us understanding on how to operate successfully through applying God's word, his promises to our life, and as a result, live according to God's wisdom as more than conquerors. It is no secret that the more we know and come to understand God's holy word, the easier it will be for each of us to apply the promises of God to our life by faith. It is through developing and becoming strong in faith that we not only please our Heavenly Father, but also come to experience the more than abundant life in Jesus. The kind of life that gives us the victory over all the challenges of life. If you are tired of being a victim of Satan and his demonic assignments, you need to be a part of this weekly study. For this teaching, I have selected two key verses from the book of Romans for our foundational passage. Please go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I will be reading verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment to everyone who believes in Christ as Savior, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Gentiles. Verse 17, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. As it is written, and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by his faith. If you were not with us from the beginning of this teaching, or would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, I invite you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We finished examining chapter 9, verse 13 when I ran out of time. Please go to the book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 14. As a reminder, Romans chapter 9, the major topic is concern for Israel. Verse 14 says, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? Is there injustice with God? Certainly not." Here's my comment regarding verse 14. We know that our God is a just God, and because He is all-knowing, He knows what we will choose to do before we even do it. However, He does not make the choice for us. We are free will creatures, and we alone must choose to do right or wrong. Not God or Satan controls our actions, unless we allow them. All right, let's continue with verse 15. The Bible says, "For He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I have compassion." Here's my comment regarding verse 15. God's mercy and compassion is for all His creation. However, He does require obedience, which keeps us safe under His protection and provisions. When we choose to disobey, we allow Satan to attack and destroy us. The wages of sin is death, and Satan will make sure that those that disobey will pay the cost of their sin. You can find that in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. I like to read the footnote that was marked in my Bible. They highlight, "I will have mercy." And their comment is, "God does not owe any of us salvation. He has mercy on us in spite of the way we act." So we should find ourselves in a wonderful place under the protection and provisions of our Heavenly Father when we are obedient to His word. All right, let's read from the Bible, verse 16. "So then God's choice is not dependent on human will, nor on human effort. The totality of human striving. But God, who shows mercy to whomever He chooses, it is His sovereign gift." All right, here's my comment regarding verse 16. God is sovereign, and His gift of salvation is available for every man and woman of any color or age. This is how God shows His mercy and love toward mankind. He has redeemed us from eternal death to an abundant eternal life in Jesus. The gift is available to you. You have to choose to accept the gift. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse 17. It says, "For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, to display my power in dealing with you, and so that my name would be proclaimed in all the earth." Here's my comment regarding verse 17. God knew exactly what Pharaoh would do because, again, God is all-knowing. God did not make Pharaoh enslave the Israelites, nor did He stop Pharaoh from releasing the Israelites when Moses came to persuade him by words and signs. Pharaoh's heart was hard, and God knew that Satan would use Pharaoh's stubbornness, sin, to destroy him, the people of Egypt, and the nation. Pharaoh willingly chose to go against God Almighty, and we know from Scripture what took place. Destruction. Satan always comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we don't want to follow his lead because it is a death trap to anyone who chooses his way. All right, let's go to verse 18. The Bible says, "So then, He has mercy on whom He wills, chooses, and He hardens the heart of whom He wills." Verse 18, here's my comment. Our Heavenly Father has mercy on all His creation. However, when we choose to disobey God's commandments that protect us, we allow Satan the entrance into our life. God knew the heart of Pharaoh, and He gave him many signs by way of the plagues to help Pharaoh make the right choice for him and his people. But Pharaoh was deceived by Satan and hardened his heart against the living God, which led to his destruction and his nation. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse 19. The Bible says, "You will say to me then, why does he still blame me for sinning? For who, including myself, has ever resisted his will and purpose?" Here's my comment regarding verse 19. God holds every man accountable for his own sins because he has given us a free will and the way of escape. As an individual, we must make a choice to follow God's commandments or follow Satan's lies. God will not take back our free will, and Satan cannot take it away. Amen. All right, let's go to the Bible and read verse 20. It says, "On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers arrogantly back to God and dares to defy him? Will the thing which is formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this?" Verse 20. God made mankind in his image so that we could enjoy fellowship with him as his children. This was his plan and purpose from the very beginning. We are the only creations of God that have the ability to create more images of him through childbirth. He gave us his authority, power, and dominion over all the earth. And you can find that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let's read from the Bible, verse 21. It says, "Does the potter not have the right over the clay to make from the same lump of clay one object for honorable use, something beautiful or distinctive, and another for common use, something ordinary or menial?" Here's my comment regarding verse 21. The potter does have the right over the clay, and God does not make duplicates. Each of us are uniquely fashioned with gifts and talents that make you special and necessary to the world. Never be envious of others or discontent with who you are. You are somebody in Jesus Christ, and God has a plan and purpose that only you can complete in Jesus. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse 22. What if God, although willing to show his terrible wrath to make his power known, has tolerated with great patience the objects of his wrath, which are prepared for destruction? Here's my comment regarding verse 22. Our Heavenly Father has great patience and love for all of us. He is long-suffering and kind to his children and sinners alike. The Holy Bible was not written to condemn us, but to warn us of Satan's attacks and evil motives. Remember, the wages of sin is eternal death. To choose life in Jesus and stay out of hell. Amen. All right, let's read verse 23 from the Bible. It says, "And what if he has done so to make known the riches of his glory to the objects of his mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory?" Here's my comment regarding verse 23. God has made his glory known to us by way of his earthly creation. And I want to read from the Bible a comment regarding this very situation. I'm going to read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Again, God has shown us his glory through his earthly creation. It says, "For God does not overlook sin, and the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness suppress and stifle the truth. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, in their inner conscience or spirit. For God made it evident to them. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through his workmanship, all his creation, the wonderful things that he has made, so that they who fail to believe and trust in him are without excuse and without defense. God has made his glory known to us by his divinely inspired scripture. Again, through his divinely inspired scripture. I'm going to be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This lets us know that his inspired scripture is available to us so that we can know our Heavenly Father. The scripture says, all scripture is God's breath, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error, and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, outfitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. All right. God has made his glory known to us through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus the Messiah. Again, he has made his glory known through his Son, Jesus the Messiah. I'm going to be quoting from John chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. They say, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true, supreme, and sovereign God, and in the same manner know Jesus as the Christ whom you have sent. I, Jesus, have glorified you down here on the earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory and majesty that I had with you before the world existed. All right, let's continue from Romans chapter 9, and let's go to verse 24. The Bible says, including us, whom he also called, not only from among the Jews, but also from among the Gentiles. Here's my comment regarding verse 24. All of mankind, Jews and Gentiles, are the objects of God's immense mercy, love, and compassion. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. All right, let's go and read verse 25 and 26 from the Bible. Verse 25 says, just as he says in the writings of the prophet Hosea, I will call those who were not my people, my people. And I will call her who was not beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Here's my comment regarding verses 25 and 26. Here Paul quotes from the writings of the prophet Hosea, who prophesied hundreds of years before Christ was born, what salvation would bring to all Jews and Gentiles. God will call those who are not his people, my people. Her that was not beloved, beloved. They shall be called the sons of God. This is who we are in Christ Jesus. We are the sons of God with a great inheritance in Jesus. Amen. All right, let's continue from the Bible. I'm going to read verse 27. It says, and Isaiah calls out concerning Israel, through the number of the sons of Israel, be like the sand of the sea. It is only that remnant, a small believing minority, that will be saved from God's judgment. Here's my comment regarding verse 27. Just like the prophet Isaiah prophesied, Paul warns Israel that just being a Jew will not save them. Paul says that only a small believing minority will be saved from God's judgment. This should open up our eyes as well, Christians, in that false religious traditions that make the word of God of no effect. You can find that in Mark 7, verse 13. Let's continue in the Bible with verse 28. The Bible says, "For the Lord will execute his word upon the earth. He will conclude his dealings with mankind completely and without delay." Here's my comment regarding verse 28. Yes, God will execute his word and conclude his dealings with mankind at the right time. When every man, woman, and child has had the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior and Lord. Let's continue from the Bible and read verse 29. It is as Isaiah foretold, "If the Lord of hosts had not left us seed, future generations from which a believing remnant of Israelites came, we would have become like Sodom and would have resembled Gomorrah, totally rejected and destroyed." Here's my comment regarding verse 29. Many are forgiven and saved as a result of a believing remnant. God always works with a few believers that are willing to stand in the gap, which means to intercede on behalf of others and or situations. This is why it is so important for each of us to pray and confess God's word over those issues that are contrary to goodwill. Remember, we have the authority and power over the earth realm, and our faith prayers avail much. Amen and amen. Let's continue with verse 30. The Bible says, "What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness, who did not seek salvation and a right relationship with God, nevertheless, obtain righteousness, that is the righteousness which is produced by faith." Here's my comment regarding verse 30. The new covenant that Jesus provided to all mankind is a result of his work and righteousness. Those of us who believe in the work of Jesus Christ and accept the gift of salvation by faith become righteous in him. All right, let's read from the Bible, verse 31. "Whereas Israel, though always pursuing the law of righteousness, did not succeed in fulfilling the law." Here's my comment regarding verse 31. To fulfill the law meant that every requirement under the law had to be kept until physical death. And when an individual failed, they had to be cleansed according to the law. The law was always intended as a tutor or teacher to show Israel right from wrong. Righteousness could only be obtained by the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus. Those Old Testament saints who earnestly kept the law through obedience were credited as righteous. For example, Abraham. Let's continue with the Bible and read verse 32. Verse 32 says, "And why not? Because it was not by faith that they pursued it, but as though it were by works, relying on the merit of their works instead of their faith. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, Jesus Christ." Here's my comment regarding verse 32. Israelites depended on the merit of their works, and we see that man's good intentions or works are insufficient. They become self-righteous, which is against God's word. You can read that in Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. All right, let's continue with verse 33. The Bible says, "As it is written, and forever remains written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And he who believes in him, whoever adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him, will not be disappointed in his expectations." Here's my comment regarding verse 33. Again, Paul quotes from Isaiah's writings and reminds the converted Jews that the answer to their Messiah is Jesus Christ. And those that believe in him, adhere to his teachings, trusts and relies in him, will attain his righteousness. Amen. All right, that concludes chapter number 9. Let's continue with chapter number 10. The major topic for chapter 10 is the word of faith brings salvation. The word of faith brings salvation. All right, let's start with verse number 1. The Bible says, "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is for their salvation." Here's my comment regarding verse number 1. Apostle Paul is sharing from his heart that he wants his people to be saved. Listeners, in like manner, we must desire and pray from our hearts for our people, not to the exclusion of other people groups, but if we don't pray for those we love, who will? Let's continue with verse number 2 from the Bible. The Bible says, I'm so sorry, family. I am looking at my time, and my time is up. Please return next week as we continue our study on the book of Romans, our guidebook for Christian living.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.